jive.
Good afternoon, Montreal. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. It is Thursday at 2:02 p.m., which means you're now listening to Movement Museum here with Allison Burns. I'm joined with Jen Doan and J.D. Papillon, and we are your current hosts for Movement Museum. You can check out past episodes at movementmuseum.com. You can download our podcast off iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter. You can like us on Facebook. Wherever social media is, we have followed. So today we're going to take a step back. JD kind of joined us when we had a lot going on Movement Museum, and we didn't really get a chance to reflect and say, hey, who is this guy who's joining our team? And where does he come from? What's he do? And why does he want to be here? So we're going to talk to JD a bit about who he is and why he's involved. And then we're going to fill up the hour with, there's just so much to talk about dance in the world these days. Jen's going to tell us about this new deal called I Love Dance, and we'll get into more detail about that later. We're going to talk about a couple season launches as well, and there's some more current affairs to go over happening now in the dance world. So we're going to get started by talking to J.D. Papillon. Hello, J.D.
Yeah, J.D., who is this guy? I don't even know who he is.
Hello, guys. To answer your question, Jen, actually, who is this guy? You don't even know who I am. It's really true, actually, for the audience listening in. We met for the first time here when I was part of the group of fringe dancers being interviewed, and that was the first time we ever met each other. And since then we've been doing shows, but we haven't actually gotten to hanging out so much, so I guess there's a lot to tell. I'm actually studying dance right now at Concordia University. I'm going into my third year, and it's been a pretty hectic ride so far doing dance. I started pretty late in life, at past my mid-20s is when I first started dancing. I'd done a lot of martial arts before, a lot of capoeira, yoga, and dance basically became a passion overnight after going to see a show with an ex-girlfriend of mine. And it just...
Hold on, what show? What show changed your life?
What show was it that I went to see with her?
Was she a dancer?
She was a dancer, but she wasn't a professional dancer. She just took dance classes for fun. And that was when I was maybe 23, 24. And I think the first show we went to see together was actually a show by Les Sept Doigts de la Main, which we covered quite intensely during the Montréal Complètement Cirque Week. And they do include a lot of contemporary dance and dance movement in their shows. And it just totally clicked with me for some reason. Like, it was a form of expression that I never seen done in such a way that I could really connect with. And it just sort of opened up my horizon to dance. And then I started going to see shows at Tangente, the first show that really made me fall in love with dance and that I can just be like, oh my god, this was the revelation, is a show by the Holy Body Tattoo, this Canadian company, from out west, with Dana Gingras and Noam Gagnon, and it was Running Wild. Have you guys seen that show? It was on like maybe 5-6 years ago.
I didn't see that show. I saw Dana's recent show at the FTA.
Oh yeah, how was that, by the way?
It was really good. Yeah, I don't remember the name of it, but I have seen her work and I really love her movement, and she's kind of an edgy lady. I like it.
Noam actually came to my high school when I was at Canterbury in Ottawa and led a workshop and kind of, you know, was like, oh well, if you want to move forward in your career, these are the steps. And I was like, wow, you're actually like, he was partially inspired me to come to Concordia.
Yeah, they both did Concordia University, if I'm not mistaken, eh?
He also did a stint at Le Groupe de la Place Royale, or I guess it was just Le Groupe at that moment when it was in Ottawa. But unfortunately, it doesn't exist anymore, so I can't completely follow his career steps.
Yeah, he's back in Vancouver now, from what I know. And Dana's still choreographing quite a bit, especially she seems to be based more in Montreal now.
Yes.
It seems, because like she did the video for Arcade Fire Sprawl 2, I think, which was a video clip that was filmed with a lot of Montreal dancers.
Back to you. So then you started dancing around 23, 24. I feel like that's a really like awesome age to kind of come into contemporary dance. It feels you already had like movement background doing martial arts and yoga and was like, you know, already developing a practice of body awareness and you know, that physical practice. And then coming into dance like at a later age, I feel for me sometimes is really great because you move in with a different type of experience and perspective on dance as opposed to having like maybe been dancing since you were a little child. So then what made you want to go to Concordia?
Well, actually, it's sort of the age thing quite a bit that made me question where I wanted to go. I mean, when I applied, I was too old for LADMI, because at that time they had put on a restriction that if you're older than 24, they wouldn't even see you in an interview. Or an audition, sorry. And because that, like, my choices were pretty much either UQAM or Concordia. And I'd done the preparatory classes that led me for a year before that, like, just get ready for the audition process. So I did both auditions at UQAM and Concordia. I got into both. And the vibe I got at Concordia was very much more akin to what I was looking for, I guess. I mean, it was great at both. Like, UQAM is a fantastic university. They have a really strong dance program. But I just felt that it was a bit more personal and it was more what I was looking for. It wasn't so much a choice between going into choreography or going into performance, because I feel that nowadays the line is so much more blurred than it could have been before. And there are fantastic teachers in both schools. It was just that I felt it was going to reach out to me more on that personal level. And also, like, the example of quite a few people had come out of Concordia University before who were performers and choreographers that I really admired. And I just saw the path I wanted my career to take to be more along those lines. And that's really what Concordia was all about. Like, I mean, one of those performers who really sort of shown through to me was Andrew Turner, because he came from a martial arts background. He had done Concordia, and his type of movement, his physicality was very much something I wanted to see in myself, I guess. And that I think that quite often decisions we make on our path is going to be based by people who have preceded us. And this was basically what happened to me. That was the main basis for my decision.
So you got a year left at Concordia, right?
Yes. Last one's supposed to be pretty intense. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's gonna go so fast. And so when you finish, what are some of your, you know, some of your goals, and what are you gonna aspire towards once you are released into the professional world?
Montreal has a really, I mean, every time I talk about the Montreal dance scene, it's pretty much always in very glorious terms. I feel that it's a scene that holds itself together very strongly. And it's something that, I mean, it's still scary. It's scary for anyone, any professional out there. But it's a scene where we are offered so many possibilities of, you know, continued training, of just, I mean, like doing this radio show, you know, it's part of it. It's a great experience. It's a way to just explore dance further, of like discussing dance, of really exposing ideas about dance and all of that. And, you know, to answer your question, I don't know exactly what I want to do right afterwards. I know that I want to take more workshops. I want to develop myself further as a dancer. I've got ideas for choreographies. I'd like to do choreographic projects, but I don't have a distinct idea exactly of where that road's going to take me. And I guess that third year is very much about figuring that out, about finding out what kind of path you want to take. And a lot of it is happenstance too, I think. Like a lot of it is just projects that present themselves, projects that you go with, and just seeing where it takes you.
I think with dance, like you, even if you've graduated from whatever program, you never really graduate. There's always, I mean, this applies to everything in life, but especially with dance and any kind of artistic practices, you never finish any kind of, you know, development and learning curve. You're always like finding new paths and paving new paths, and who knows where your path is going to go. It's just less predictable than, I guess, certain professions.
Yeah, you're always a student. Quite a few of my professors at Concordia are still students. They're still taking classes at UQAM. They're still furthering their in education in dance. And I think that you're never done with learning about the body and about the way the body can move, about the restrictions put on your body, all of that. Or just, you know, artistically, like, you know, movement and body can go into so many different directions, and it's true, you're never done learning.
We're really excited that you're going to be part of our movement music
team.
Thank you. It's been awesome so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to have a different opinion in the air and a different voice to be heard.
Well, you know, I'd love to hear from our listeners. That's something that, you know, if you guys have any topics that you'd like us to talk about, or just, you know, feedback on how the show's been going, please let us know. Let me know. It would be really good to know who's out there, who's listening, and what your thoughts are on this show.
Absolutely. And our email here is movement@ckut.ca. And we recognize that we tend to be very insular in contemporary dance, but it is Movement Museum, and we do stretch our borders here and there, involving cirque and breakdance and whatnot, and we're really open to a lot of different forms. We've had cloggers on the show in the past. We've talked about tap and whatnot, and contemporary is on our radar, all being graduates of the Concordia Contemporary Dance Program. But please, if you are an artist in a different field and you'd like to get some exposure, let us know.
So again, Performance art is something that's never explored enough, and that has so much to say also, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for mentioning that. That's a really great point. So again, movement@ckut.ca. So welcome to the team, JD. You are officially a co-host of Movement Museum.
Yay!
Now that we know who you are. And I think we're going to turn the mic over to Jen Doan. She's going to tell us about I Love Dance.
I love dance. Who doesn't love dance, really? Even if you're not a dancer, if you don't go to see dance, I'm sure that everyone loves to move. So anyways, anyone who out there doesn't know about the Canadian Dance Assembly, they are an organization. It's been around for a while. Some of their, you know, main missions is to support dance artists, dance. And they've launched a national campaign called I Love Dance, J'aime la Danse. And basically what the campaign is, it's unique. It's a six-year national campaign that's really going to be helping to, you know, increase the profile of dance here in Canada. And just speaking about dance, not just contemporary dance, but like dance forms of any form. And that's what they're really aiming to do, is basically, you know, engage dance lovers, dancers, supporters all together, and to help, you know, bring about all different types of dance styles and give that support, and to really, you know, raise awareness into the importance of dance in our Canadian culture here. So some of the things that they're, this is a little tidbit. I'm sure that if you guys are dancers, you are not surprised by this, but of all art forms, dance careers are the shortest and the average wages are the lowest. So basically what they want to do here is, you know, bring together and support dance and create a healthy community where people can work together to, again, build a better profile for dance in Canada. So some of the things that they've developed around this I Love Dance campaign, there's several things, actually. One is what's called the Dance Manifesto, which I'm going to read for you guys. And if you guys want to take a look at it further, what they're doing is they're really encouraging people to kind of help them spread the word, you know, with the Dance Manifesto and with this I Love Dance campaign, telling friends, telling colleagues, get the word out there and help us get, you know, to increase that awareness that dance is an important part of the culture and of just like a healthy lifestyle. So the Dance Manifesto, which I will just read here. Dance Manifesto. We declare that dance, in all its diverse expressions, is a force for social good and human advancement. In support of this, we uphold the following principles. Dance is an instinctive human birthright and a lifelong contributor to health and contentment. Dance enlivens the body. Dance engages the mind. Dance inspires the spirit. Dance celebrates cultural, social, and physical diversity, yet soars above perceived barriers to foster cohesion and shared understanding. Dance as an art represents a society's highest aspirations and communicates profound truths that are beyond the power of words. Dance expresses the essence of what it is to be fully alive. For these reasons, we advocate expanded opportunities to experience dance as art, health, education, recreation, or sport, whether as observer or participant, among all age groups and socio-cultural sectors. For these reasons, we advocate wider appreciation of the multifaceted contributions of the dance profession as a source of valuable knowledge and provider of inspiring performances. We advocate broader knowledge, acknowledgement of dance as a major component of our identity as a compassionate, imaginative, innovative, and thriving community. So that there is the Dance Manifesto. And there's a lot of truth in that. Being a dancer, I can appreciate that and understand that. But it's really, I think, about spreading that and having people who may not have that same appreciation or exposure to dance to live that and experience that. So the other thing that the national campaign of I Love Dance, what they're doing is they are actually launching the very first Canadian Dance Award, which is called the I Love Dance Award. So just a little information on I Love Dance Award. It's going to be taking place on October 21st, which is in conjunction with the national conference that they're having for this campaign. So what you can actually do is you can nominate someone or an organization who you feel deserves recognition for, you know, some kind of exceptional contribution to the dance ecology in the spirit of this I Love Dance campaign. So you can submit nominations and in all categories. And I think that the date for any final submissions is September 2012. So if you guys are out there, check it out. And if you know somebody that you feel like, yeah, that person really deserves an award for what they've done in the dance world, then I would highly recommend that you go and do that, because I think it's super important that people get recognized for the work that they do. And there's a lot of categories, actually. There's the I Love Dance Community Award, the I Love Dance Youth Award, I Love Dance Seniors Award, I Love Dance Healthy Citizens Award, I Love Dance Contribution to a Creative Economy Award. That's a lot of awards categories. I Love Dance International Award, the award for the promotion of pluralism, the award for innovation, I Love Dance Audience Member Award, I Love Dance Corporation Award. Oh, what's going on here? I Love Dance Organization Award, and I Love Dance Donors Award. So check that out on their website and yeah, make a nomination.
That's great.
Get involved. Yeah.
Dance
people.
Is for everyone. That's what I Love Dance seems to prove, that it's not about the limited view of dance. It's really about all forms of dance and all of the values found in dance.
And I like the patrons award, because that's a big part of it too.
Yeah,
Thank you, patrons. That's really cool.
So anyways, it's taking place at the 2012 National Conference, which is going to be held in Ottawa, October 20th to 2012. And it's a lot of information right now, but I guess I'll just throw it out there. I think it's really interesting stuff that people should be aware of. This national conference is basically taking place in Ottawa, and this year's topic is inspired by the idea of the intersection of pluralism and technology in a rapidly changing environment. So basically what happens is that they have they create these forums and panel discussions. You can come and learn from like keynote speakers, participate in workshops on videos with projections. There's also going to be performances as well. So it's going to be like a really big deal as a national,
event.
Event, yeah. And it's all going to be organized by the Canadian Arts Coalition. And yeah, again, more information on Canada Dance Assembly website.
I'll definitely link that to our blog so you can check it out and get more information.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Jen.
But one last note, they really, really want people to participate. And so they're encouraging people to, spread the word to anyone they know, friends, family, teachers, colleagues, really like participate in nominating for the awards. You can actually also organize an activity around the National Dance Week, and they'll help to facilitate your event. And, share the message to anyone you know, come go like join them on Facebook, on Twitter, and all of that stuff. So really like being active as well if you really want to support this campaign and what it stands for. So that's all from me.
Wonderful. Thanks so much. That was I Love Dance. And again, I'll definitely put a link up on our blog so you can learn more information about that campaign and the awards and the ceremony and all that business. All right. Next on the to-do list today is we're going to talk about a little bit more detail, the Agora season launch for 2012-2013. I mentioned this a while ago, but we were flooded with fringe guests and Montreal Complètement Cirque, so we put it aside for a little bit. But now we're going to talk about it in a little bit more detail. I mean, again, you can always go to agoradance.com and look at all the list of shows. What we're aiming to do here is just kind of give you a little bit of insight from what we know, what we've heard, what we have seen before, to give you an opinion on some of the shows if you're at a loss of what to see, because there are plenty of shows this season. What Agora has done is they have the Autumn 2012 up on the site in full detail. They have released the names of the artists coming in the winter of 2013, but not in as much detail. So right now we're going to focus on Autumn 2012 and what's going on there. And again, the website is fabulous. There's a lot of video. There's a lot of information about a lot of the works. And Agora, as a presenter, in my opinion, does a lot of very physical works, usually pieces that are based in at least one form of kind of technical work that have kind of spurred off from there. And not to say that there's no conceptual work. There's plenty of conceptual work being presented at Agora these days. And something that also binds this particular season together is the occurrence of solos. There's a lot of solo work. And Agora is also part of its mandate is to kind of improve dialogue or start discussions. So what they've done is they've recognized this occurrence of solos in their season. And they have this event that's going to take place in September called Événement Solo. And it's going to involve some of the artists who are creating solos for the season, some people from the UQAM dance department. You're going to see Margie Gillis there and a few other people kind of discussing solo work in an artistic perspective. That's one event happening as part of the season. And then we can move on to maybe talk about some of the shows. The first show I must talk about is Crystal Pite's show. And I am so excited for this. It's called The Tempest Replica, and it's based on the play, The Tempest. And it's supposed to be a more theatrical work than she's ever done before. This is Crystal Pite, the director of Kid Pivot. And it's a phenomenal company with superhuman performers, the likes of which I haven't seen before. They move like water most of the time. There's a lot of theatricality coming into Crystal's work. If you've seen Dark Matters or the You Show. She likes to use dialogue and props, and this one looks even heavier on kind of creating an environment using setting and costuming. And from what I understand, it follows a kind of storyline, which is unique. And I can't wait to see it. I think that it's going to be incredible. I can't imagine why it wouldn't be incredible.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see that, because Tempest is a difficult play to render on stage, I find. It's really based on mood and ambiance and atmosphere. And as you mentioned, with from the pictures she's released, it seems insane. Like it really does have this sort of the Cell kind of, like, you know, remember the movie The Cell with Jennifer Lopez? Yeah, that sort of like weird faceless those persona or something. And it seems like it should be a fantastic show. It's probably a really big challenge to create a dance show based on that Shakespeare play.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to do some research to get the most out of it, like do some research on The Tempest before I go in to see the production, just to make sure that I don't miss anything, because you never want to miss anything from Crystal Pite. It's just really packed, it's really full, it's really rich, and again, the performers are just unworldly. They're just amazing, absolutely amazing. So that's what I'm most excited about for the Agora season. But there's plenty of other stuff that I don't know much about, and some I do, and definitely some more stuff to check out. There's an interesting show that Helen Blackburn and Pierre Lecourt are co-creating in September called Duels. And it seems to be with a focus on duets throughout the work. And it looks very intriguing. It looks very physical, very impressive. Always when I see kind of two heavy hitter choreographers working together, I get even more excited and enthusiastic for the work, because it's one great mind creates a great piece. Two great minds, if they work well together, can create something absolutely magical. So that's something, I think they're opening actually the season. So that's something to look forward to right off the bat. Also, there's Anne Plamondon. You may remember her from the Rubber Band Dance Group, where she is the co-artistic director and a dancer. And she's now embarking on choreography, and she's doing a self-solo work, Les Mêmes Yeux que Toi. And so that's something that looks interesting. I believe her themes are on mental health. And from the video preview, it's a very kind of small work, kind of little gestures and close to the body kind of thing.
Did you feel watching the video, because I haven't seen it yet, but did you feel there was the same kind of movement quality as to what happens in Rubber Band Dance? This sort of very moving one part of the body after another and sort of deconstructing the body that way? Or did you feel that she's really looking for her own personal movement signature in her solo?
I would say the latter.
That's interesting.
My impression is that it's a more kind of emotionally driven kind of piece, a little bit more organic, perhaps. But we'll see. Again, it's hard to tell from a 30-second video or a minute video what the work is going to be. And as I understand, you know, there's always developments that are happening, so we'll see what actually comes out of there. But yeah, if you like Rubber Band Dance, or if you don't like Rubber Band Dance, it might be both intriguing either way, you know. Also, Marc Boivin is presenting a solo, Un Idée Sinon Vrai, and he's working with a composer, Anna
Sokolovic,
and it seems to be a reflective work based on the 7 Commedia dell'arte characters. So this is a little outside of my realm, but I do believe it has a more of a basis in theater, and he's kind of bringing these characters into a movement and a musical understanding.
Well, that's interesting, because in Commedia dell'arte, from the very little I know, there are these 7 archetypes, like Arlequin is one of them, Pierrot, if I remember, is one of them, and they all represent sort of facets of humanity. So it's interesting how they're going at a character study from this perspective of commedia dell'arte. And for someone like Marc Bovin, who has a lot of experience, who has been choreographing his own work for a while, it should be really interesting to see how he approaches a pretty daring idea like that and how he makes it his.
Well, I get the impression that it is very much a collaboration between himself and the composer. And it's actually going to be, the music is going to be presented live by a group of people, by the Quantor Bonzini performing group. So that's exciting. There's also Paul-André Fortier is presenting a self-solo accompanied by a violinist, Malcolm Goldstein. And there is going to be the annual UCAM student show, and this year they are going to be presenting work created by Sylvain Aymard. They're going to be doing his repertoire. So as Agora does every year, they present a piece by UCAM students, and this is done through the school, and this year will be Sylvain Aymard. So that covers my interest for the autumn season at Agora. Is there anything that you wanted to point out in there, JD, as something intriguing to you?
Actually, you've covered pretty much everything about the Agora season. I'm very excited to see the Kid Pivot show.
Yeah, obviously. Absolutely.
We're going to be fighting for those tickets.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, no. I think it's pretty much, I'm out of the race. I'm way too scared of you ladies. I won't even try to drop
good
down
point.
The gauntlet.
Oh, well, it should be mentioned, too, that Agora tickets are not unreasonable.
Yeah, especially for students on Thursdays. It's very cheap, if I remember.
Yeah, student prices vary between $18 and $22. And I believe the prices don't go beyond $32. So you can really... You can get in there, see a couple shows without breaking the bank. And again, Agora is on Cherrier. It's 840 Cherrier. And you can check out more information at agoradance.com. They have all the information in French and in English, and videos and descriptions of the show, and it's really easy to navigate. And I encourage you to go see something. Agora, again, has a lot of conceptual work and a lot of very physical-based technical work, and I think that if you like moving, if you like dance, if you like the very common understanding of dance, you're gonna enjoy an Agora show, and you're probably gonna be pleasantly surprised because it's gonna take you somewhere else as well as that. So I would encourage you, whether you're into dance or not, to check out the Agora season because they do a really nice program. All right, so that wraps up the Agora de la Danse autumn 2012 season. We'll be back on the other side. You are indeed listening to CKUT on 90.3 FM, and you are specifically listening to the show Movement Museum with myself, Alison Burns, Jen Doan, and J.D. Papillon. And this week we're covering tons of topics on the show. We got introduced to JD earlier on. We talked about I Love Dance. We talked about the Agora season launch. We got some more news for you, and we have the Tangente season launch as well coming up in the next half hour. It is 2:36, and we're going to go back to Jen.
So I decided to just mention, talk about dance awards. We do have dance awards that are given out here throughout Canada, and it would be nice to, I mean, as an artist, for all the things that you do and all that hard work and that you put in, at the end of the day, when you're recognized by your peers and, you know, get an award for it, and sometimes even monetary award, I think it's just a super amazing thing. So I wanted to share some of that, some of our local people here. For those who know of the Montreal company Bouge de la, they received the Prix Rideau Touring Award for the work L'Atelier, or the studio, during the Bourse Rideau Gala on February 16th. So that's been a while, but they got the award, which distinguishes them as an arts company for successful audience development and promotional activities throughout the tour on one of its shows. So basically, the L'Atelier, which was their show, combined dance with visual art and was definitely acclaimed by more than about 105 audiences across Quebec and Toronto. And coming back to Crystal Pite, she also won an award. No surprise, Crystal Pite is amazing, and I'm sure everyone in this room agrees with me. But she was awarded, she was presented with the inaugural Lola Award on March 1st, and she received a $10,000 grant, which is going to fund her next research period. And was created in the memory, this award was created in the memory of a choreographer named Lola McLaughlin, supporting the work of mid-career and established choreographers, just in hopes of being able to contribute to their growth to the Vancouver aesthetic abroad. So it sounds as though it's like a very BC, you know, BC-based award. And for National Ballet, of course, we had a couple of dancers winning a couple of awards. Principal dancers Guillaume Côté and Gillian Van Stone. I believe Gillian Van Stone was recognized for contributions in dance and culture, and Côté, who was born in Lac-Saint-Jean, Quebec, he received a medal for the National Assembly of Quebec as well. And Van Stone, who is from Nanaimo, BC, also received the Excellence in Culture Award in the city of Nanaimo. So congratulations to them. And just a few more shout-outs for awards. Toronto's Nova Bhattacharya this year won the dance division. It was the winner in the dance division for the Victor Martin Lynch Staunton Award, which basically celebrates mid-career artists. So for her artistic achievement, she received $15,000. That's great. And Patrick Lavoie, he was a soloist for the National Ballet of Canada. He also won a David Torrey Award for many of his positive qualities, and he received a $2,500 award in the memory of David Torrey, who is the vice chair for the company. And just a couple of more. Dancer Danny Nelson, who is from Edmonton, Alberta, was awarded the third annual Santa Aloha Award, and it's usually given to creators, choreographers, to create new works. And he received a nice $4,500 check to contribute to a new full-length work for him. And just the last one, Dance Victoria announced two winners for their second annual Crystal Dance Prize, $1,400 each, and that went to Tessa Charleswood, which is an emerging artist from Victoria, and Vancouver's Dalik received $10,000. And as well, Harbourfront Centre has an award as well, and they gave an award to Toronto-based dance artist Angelica Scanura for both the Paula Citroen Flesh Blood Award and the Audience Choice Award for her work After the Fall.
If I may interrupt for just a second, because mm-hmm. I just have a note on the Harbourfront Centre, so it seems like an appropriate time to bring it up.
Yeah.
Because Laura Kramer, who is an artist from Montreal, we had her on the show on November 3rd, 2011. And she is now presenting her work Fragments at the Harbourfront Center in Toronto starting in August 11th. August 11th is the show, and it's a show about the residential schools of Canada. And it's really nice to see our peers growing and moving and getting these opportunities. And I think she's a really strong artist, and I would encourage you to listen to the show, because it was a really great show. You and her, Jen and Laura, got into some discussion about second generation repercussions of being displaced, and it was really it was a great discussion. It's a great show. At that point, we were talking about the production she did of Good Moral Character with Lael Stelic. This production she's doing at the Harbourfront Centre is Fragments with four female dancers. But yeah, powerful work, great performer. Congratulations, Lara. And if you're in Toronto, go check it out on August 11th.
Just wanted to do a little shout out for those who are receiving these nice checks and recognition from their peers. So
it also helps us as patrons to know what's worthy of our time, because there's a lot of stuff out there and sometimes it's disappointing. So to see these people recognized and to see where the awards are going, we can kind of tell what's worth our time, what we should go see and who we should support.
And probably also a little bit of motivation and inspiration for the artists themselves to
right.
continue doing their work. And yeah, that people are being recognized for doing their work.
And the audience loves awards too. I mean, let's face it, like, if a show has awards, it will probably get a lot more audience members who wouldn't go see shows and who wouldn't be open to the idea of dance, try it out. And I think that it does legitimize a scene to have awards in some kind of way.
Absolutely. All right, would we like to talk about Tangente at this point?
I am down.
Yeah?
Yep.
This is another really exciting season coming up. They Tangente, a little while ago, launched their 2012-2013 season. Tangente is very experimental in its programming. They have programmed people from all over the world, a lot of local artists. They program emerging artists as well as established artists and people who work in different disciplines who are coming into the dance scene or incorporating dance into their projects. So it's a lot of, it's a grab bag of really interesting stuff that you see at Tangente. You can to a certain extent know what you're getting yourself into, but for the most part, it's a risk you take as an audience member, and it's a risk they take in their programming. And it's a really wonderful establishment for that, because we need that sort of ground to experiment as artists, to see what works and what doesn't work, and not just in a studio by yourself, but on stage with an audience in a context. So this is the 32nd season for Tangente, and as last season, they are currently homeless. So the productions are being presented at Monument National, La Sala Rosa, Agora, and the Mai throughout the season. So something else that Tangente does that is very on point with what I was talking about before is Danse Boussonnier, which is an invitation for young emerging artists. I think the category is specifically artists that are graduating from professional programs like UCAM, Concordia, LADMI, and other spaces, although it does not exclude people who are coming in from outside, from other sources.
Yeah, the main criteria, if I'm not mistaken, is that it be the first professional creation by the choreographers. So quite often you see people who have come out of school a few years prior, but who didn't create professional shows until then.
And what they do is they program an evening of about six of these artists, and they give them their space on the stage and their time, and they present their works. And it's a huge audition process. It's very coveted, these six positions. And this year there are three students from L'École de Danse de Montréal, which was formerly LADMI. There's one artist from Vancouver, one from Quebec City, and one self-taught artist presenting work. And unfortunately this year, UCAM and the Concordia Dance Departments are not represented in Danse Boussonnier, but nobody's being mean to them. Simply the quality of work was distributed where it was, and L'École de Danse Contemporaine had the strongest choreography propositions this year. And I'm sure it'll change in future years, and it has been different in past years.
Yeah,
so no hard feelings.
It's important to mention that it's a jury that decides the works that are to be presented during Danse Boussonnière. Mm-hmm. So it's not no one from Tangente themselves. It's just a jury of peers of dancers and choreographers in Montreal scene who see all of the works being proposed and who pick the six ones that are to be shown. So it's very interesting how it is a peer curated show, and I think that says a lot also about the importance of Danse Boussonnière each year in Tangente, in the Montreal dance scene, and how that does bring so much more cohesion to this emerging group of artists.
On that note, Danse Boussonnière also is this beautiful launch pad for these artists to move forward. And one such artist that's gone through that transition is Katia Marie Germain, who was in Danse Boussonnière in 2010 and is currently sharing an evening with another artist in a double bill during the Tangente season. So she's kind of moving on in her career and staying with Tangente as a presenter. Her work is called Aube, and she's presenting alongside Geneviève C. Ferron, and her work is Tout est dit, il ne reste rien. And both of these artists are said to have very strong visual artistic capacity, so that the works are very very beautiful as well as physical. There's a lot of attention paid to the atmosphere and just that visual artist touch on the pieces. So that's definitely an evening that I'm looking forward to. I've seen Katia Marie Germain's work before. It's very delicate. It's very satisfying. It's very beautiful, I would say. There's also another Danse Boussonnier leapfrogger. There's Isabelle Boulanger, who presented in 2011 as part of Danse Boussonnier, is now presenting her own work, Feint Trois, this November. And this is a very curious looking work. It looks like a bizarre sort of 80s phys ed class. It's a group piece, and it's very physical. It's very fun. I'm intrigued by Isabelle Boulanger's presentation, Feint Trois. Now, this one I know that JD is going to have a lot to say about, Esti, Myths and Machines by Peter Trosmer, who we've actually had on the show before to talk. But you've actually seen this work, and it's a remount.
Yeah, it's a remount from last year. It was presented in December of 2011 at Tangente. And due to the show's popularity, Tangente et Monsieur have decided to bring it back, which is a really good idea, because I think that it's such an important show to see because of... It's a solo, first of all, by Peter Trotzmer, choreographed and performed by him. And it has so much to say. It has so much to offer, both on a multidisciplinary level, just like the scenography is fascinating. He built this sort of musical instrument that could be taken straight out of a junkyard. And it's just visually captivating, but there's also this connection between the movement and the music that is performed by this self-made instrument, you know, which in a way could totally relate to just the life of a dancer, of just building something and using it to pretty much say whatever you want it to. And the movement quality is just, he's a fantastic performer. He is so on throughout the whole hour. He's just himself on stage. And it's just, you know, I could just talk about it the whole, like, all day, but it's a good show. You should go see it when it comes back. And it's going to be on November 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th.
And it's important to note that Tangente doesn't really do remounts. This is very much a unique situation where not enough people saw this show, or they weren't able to. It was selling out and all that business. So it really speaks to the quality of work here. It's definitely something you should mark off in your calendar and go see. Something else that we're really excited about. We also had her on, Dorian Nuskin-Oder, on our February 9th episode this year to talk about her show, Everything Was Beautiful and Nothing Hurt, which was part of the Tangente season last year. And it was just gorgeous. Again, cinematographic, let's say.
I think that's the right word.
It was inspired by David Lynch, her work, and it was just gorgeous. Really, she had a lot of fun with lighting and with very simple costuming elements that brought the most out of the work. And it was herself and two other lovely ladies, and just kind of bizarre shapes that she would move through. She's a very interesting mover, very flexible, very strong, and it was a really impressive work. And she's coming back with a different piece entitled Pale Water Part 1, which is a solo work, and that'll be happening in May. It's part of it's called 3x3x3, involving artists from Halifax and Quebec City, and they're the three artists are doing a three-city tour from Halifax, Quebec City, and Montreal. So I don't know much about the other two artists, but I would see the show just for Dorian Nuskin-Oder because she's a very talented woman, and you've actually seen her work too as part of Piss in the Pool this year.
Yeah, actually, when I did my review of Piss in the Pool, she was the first one I talked about. I mentioned just how fantastic that performance was. And after seeing two of her pieces, like the one with based on David Lynch and the one she did at Piss in the Pool, she's basically become an artist that I don't need to know anything about the show. I'm just going to go see it because she has such interesting concepts and she pulls them off. It's not like just wasted potential. And it's tough to have that balance between great concept and using them in a smart, right way. And she just delivers every time I've seen her. So I'm so excited to see her at Tangent soon.
Something else you were mentioning you were excited for was the return of Brian Brooks.
Yeah, Brian Brooks performed. He showed three excerpts from pieces as first act for first part for Jacques Poulin-Denis' show 2 years ago. No, last year. Like, not this past season, but the one right before that. So in 2010? Early 2011, yeah. And it was excerpts from, taken from Big City and Motor. And he is coming back to show more of those pieces. And he was basically my favorite piece of the year. Like, he did a duet with another male dancer that was just so powerful, so moving. Very, very, like, simplistic in a way, but just, like, fantastic partner work. And he also did another piece, again, with the other male dancer with him, where they just used moving around the stage, but in very mathematical fashion. That usually stuff like that bores me. I'm not that interested. But he just found a way to make it so interesting. And the reaction in the crowd was just, you know, it was very... a great reception for a New York choreographer whom most people I never heard about. And now I know that the expectation for this new show that he's presenting are going to be really high.
One more piece that I wanted to mention was Branché by Andrée-Anne Raté, which is a show billed for a younger crowd. I think she originally created the show and it was suggested to her that it would work better for a younger audience, or it could be tweaked to work for a younger audience. So that's what's happened now. And it's kind of on the subject of technology and being plugged in. And the audience is encouraged to keep their cell phones on throughout the production. And it's a 10 and up show. So that's just a little unique kind of niche there if you've got kids or if you just feel like you being playful. I think that's something to look into. But there are so many shows happening during this Tangent season. There are a lot of double bills and triple bills, and just like you go one evening, you see several different artists. There are 17 events happening with 50 choreographic creations, and I don't even know how many artists and choreographers involved in this whole business. So really, roll the dice, check out a Tangent show, because you never know what you're going to see there. And it could change your world. Yeah.
Like it did for JD.
Thank you, Tangent.
You could go and you know, move into the dance world after, I don't know, being a gardener for 30 years. Anyway, do you have anything left to say about the Tangent season before we wrap it up?
No, just it's going to be a really interesting season, and I think everyone should check it out, definitely.
Well, I mean, we're about like less than 2 months away from the new season launches of like every presenter and, you know,
it's gonna
venue,
be a big
so it's
season.
Gonna be explode.
It's gonna be a really big season. From the season launches I've heard about so far, Montreal's gonna be packed with fantastic dance. I'm excited.
Amazing. Absolutely. All right. You'll have to tune in next week to hear more dance news from us here on Movement Museum. We've been Jen Doan, JD Papillon, and Allison Burns, and it's almost 3 o'clock, so we're going to say goodbye. Don't forget to check out movementmuseum.com to see all our old episodes and some links to some interesting stuff we've been talking about. You can download our podcast off of iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter. You can like us on Facebook, and you can talk to us. Go to email us at movement@ckut.ca and let us know what's up, what you'd like us to cover. If you disagree with our opinions on things, or if you want to come on the show, just let us know. Send us an email, movement@ckut.ca. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be talking at you next week. Take care. All the bits and more jive. Squeeze and hug me all through the night. Oh, baby, do you want to?
Do you want to dance? Well, do you want to dance under the moonlight? Squeeze and hug me all through the night. Oh, baby, do you want to dance?